We grab the sports world by the neck and swing it around like a cowboy's lasso. It's a heck of a thing, really. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Field Yates from ESPN will give us his thoughts on the Browns win, Baker Mayfield, Hugh Jackson, all the above. Talk about that at the bottom of the hour. Next hour, our pigskin picks heading into the weekend, plus Gabe Morenci, our professional handicapper, will join us. Phone number, listen, this is, if you're a Browns fan, there's a lot of you out there, believe it or not. Or even just football fans. The ratings were sky high last night. I know you watched the game. It was like a train wreck the first half, and then Baker Mayfield was just amazing in the second half. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Love your thoughts on last night's game. Love your thoughts on whether you thought Hugh Jackson was going to make a quarterback change if it wasn't for the injury, because I don't think he would have. And what is he going to do moving forward? A lot to talk about.
Yeah, not only that game, too, but I think two really cool games coming up, Sunday and Monday, the Dolphins and the Raiders, and then Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay coming up on Monday night, and some really interesting stats. Roethlisberger is good. I think one of the best records on Monday Night Football. He's 14-4.
I think with this Dolphins Raiders game, it's another game where I feel like there are two sides where you fall in the Dolphins right now. One side is they're 2-0. My side, they're 2-0. They can't be anything other than 2-0 right now. Mm-hmm. So make whatever conclusions you want about the team. The fact is they're 2-0.
Yeah.
Then there's the other side where it's 2-0, but it's a weak 2-0. That weird game against Tennessee week one, and we don't really know what the Jets are right now.
Yeah.
But I think it's another game on the Dolphins' schedule where it's not going to move you to the other side. You get what I'm saying? Like, I think if you have doubts about the Dolphins right now, beating the Raiders at home isn't going to do anything to say, okay, well, now I'll give this team a little bit of credit.
Plus, I got a lot of doubts for the Raiders,
too.
But
you know what, though? Here's the thing. And I started looking at the numbers from the last couple of games of the Raiders. And, okay, Carr was 29-32 last week. 29-32.
And John Gruden's reportedly unhappy with the quarterback position.
And says on for 288 yards, and he had that dot that he fired to Seth Roberts. I don't know how he got that passing, but he did. For one of his 20-yard touchdown passes, they lost 20-19. Jared Cook had 9 catches for 180 yards versus the Rams the week before that.
Yeah.
And last week, he targeted Amari Cooper 10 times. You know how many times Amari Cooper caught the ball?
10.
10.
It was almost flawless.
Jordy Nelson, by the way, only has 5 catches and 53 yards in both games so far for the Raiders. The Raiders are a hard team to figure out. Their problem is on defense. They're going to rely on Bruce Irvin and Arden Key to kind of take over for Khalil Mack, who I think John Gruden made an idiot out of himself on Wednesday by saying that quote that we said, it's hard to find an elite pass rusher.
Yeah, he had one.
How's that going to – it doesn't make any sense.
Not at all.
Well, he'll be able to get one in the draft next year.
Good. Yeah. Well, he got all those draft picks. I said that's the only way he unburdens himself is if he finds a future All-Pro and doesn't have to pay him as much.
I'm talking about the Raiders draft pick that looks like it's going to be a – for sure, top 10, probably a top 5, at least this early in the season.
Yep.
Go look at the defensive lineman coming out.
And just real quick before we get to the phones, the Dolphins, Tannehill, a couple things that stick out at you, as well as they've been playing. Got to cut down. Tannehill's been sacked 5 times in 2 games, and he was hit 9 times in the pocket in the last 2 games. Got to cut that down a little bit.
All right, let's go to the phones. Talks of football, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Steve in Fort Myers, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, Steve.
Good afternoon, guys. Good talking to you. Great show.
Thank you, sir.
I just think all you guys are overreacting. The only thing last night proved that the Jets are worse than Cleveland. That's all it proved. I mean, I wanted the tickets for the induction ceremony, so when Baker Mayfield makes the Hall of Fame, half a game, guys.
No one's saying that. Well, all we're saying is we're looking at the difference was night and day and the energy on that field, not just with the fans, but with the players. No one's put him in the Hall of Fame. No one's put him in the Hall of Fame except you.
I don't think so.
Steve, real quick, what could Baker have done last night for you to say, okay, this guy looks like he's an NFL quarterback?
Nothing. Nothing.
Game okay, so it was a lose-lose situation for Baker Mayfield last night. A lose-lose. We can't get any information from Baker Mayfield going 17 of 23 against an NFL defense.
With three drops. Should have been 20 of 23, actually.
Sorry, Steve. I can't listen to that. It's nonsense.
Hey, look, nobody's put him in the Hall of Fame, but it's Dan and I compared to he and Tyrod Taylor. It's a no-brainer.
We are not sitting here putting Baker Mayfield in the Hall of Fame. We are saying that first of all, he should have been in there in week one. And anybody who watched Hard Knocks could see that. Anybody who watched Hard Knocks knows that Hugh Jackson doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And I can't believe he survived this long. No one's putting Baker Mayfield in the Hall of Fame. We're sitting here telling you very rashly what everybody felt last night watching that game. That kid, for one game, and I think he's going to be the real deal. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to throw picks. He's going to throw pick sixes. That kid, though, is the real deal. And if you don't think you saw the difference between when he was in there and when Tyrod Taylor was in there, then I don't know what you were watching.
Let's also keep in mind that he came in with 142 to go.
Yeah.
Did the two-minute drill under pressure as a rookie and looked like he'd been doing it his entire life.
Unloaded two passes to Landry and Njoku. Boom, boom. Like he had been doing it for 20 years.
Yep. It's the best a Cleveland Browns quarterback has looked since
Tim Couch,
Brian
probably.
Hoyer. Brian Hoyer had that team, 4-2, 5-2?
Yeah.
On a Thursday night game and got ripped down. I think it was by the Ravens and like broke his hip or something terrible looking like that. That's the last time the Browns have had like a competent quarterback. They look like they have the beginnings of a franchise quarterback.
I've got the list right here. It's 30 quarterbacks since 1999 have been starting. A couple of guys here I haven't even heard of. There's Tim Couch, Ty Detmer, Doug Peterson,
Yeah.
Now coaching for the
Eagles.
Yeah. He was one of the starters. Spurgeon Wynn? That one I've never heard of.
Yeah, I remember.
Kelly Holcomb, Jeff Garcia, Luke McCown, Trent Dilfer, Charlie Fry, Derek Anderson, Ken Dorsey, Brady Quinn.
Ken Dorsey.
Bruce Gradkowski, Colt McCoy, Jake Delhomme, Seneca Wallace, Brandon Weeden.
Seneca Wallace. So good jobs after that.
Thaddeus Lewis, Jason Campbell, Brian Hoyer, Johnny Manziel, Connor Shaw, Josh McCown, Austin Davis, Robert Griffin III, Cody Kessler, Deshaun Kaiser, Kevin Hogan, and Tyrod Taylor.
And in addition to that, before we get back to the phone, 64 different NFL quarterbacks started games and 47 won at least one game since the Browns last won on December 24, 2016. And in the meantime, six Marvel movies were released. Adam Schefter tagged this tweet. Six Marvel movies were released since December 24, 2016. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, and Ant-Man and the Wasp.
And by the way, among that same time, since 1999, the Patriots have had five starting quarterbacks, and that includes Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett and Matt Castle during the injured Tom Brady time. Gosh. Drew Bledsoe would be the other one. So,
To see Matt Castle taking snaps in Foxborough. That was sweet.
Well, you might see him against the Patriots this weekend. He's the Lions' backup now. Let's go to the phones at 239-337-ESPN. Brian in Naples, you're on with Sheeman and Shepard. Go ahead.
Hi, Brian.
I'm a native Clevelander. I'm slightly older than the host. My childhood memories are of Glanton Collier as head coach.
Oh, wow.
And Dr. Frank Ryan is the quarterback.
All right.
Wow.
However, I let go of my allegiance when the Browns moved to Baltimore.
Oh.
I consider them a different team.
Yeah.
However, I still follow them. There's still some heartstrings there. And, of course, last night I had the game on. All I saw was the first two quarters, and my cable went out.
Oh,
really?
No.
In Naples, what? Was it in the storm or lightning or what?
Just
Comcast.
I have Comcast. I didn't lose it.
Yeah, I didn't lose my. You paid your bill, right? No, I'm sorry. We lost the line there.
Oh, maybe his dog hung up the phone right there.
I did hear the dog. Sounded like a big dog.
Was that a dog?
Yeah, it sounded like a big dog.
Yeah.
Maybe a Schmedium dog.
Schmedium?
Schmedium.
Wow.
Somewhere, you know, right around a 30-pound dog.
Yeah.
239, how come nobody is giving Tom Coughlin credit for Jacksonville's success? I think we've given a lot of credit over the last year.
Jacksonville?
Yeah, that's random.
Random Jacksonville?
What show is he listening to?
I don't know.
No, this is the Cleveland Browns day.
This is the Browns day, yes.
Keep your Jaguars, keep your Dolphins, keep your Bucks, all the undefeated teams, go away.
Yeah.
Jaguars lost twice to Tennessee last year. Worry about
that. This is for the perfect Cleveland Browns.
Right,
they are one and one.
Yes. For example, Monday's show will be all about the Lions. All right, Matthew in Naples. You're on Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, Matthew.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. How are you?
I'm well. So, Browns fan for life, never lived there. Just my parents are both from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First half of that game is basically what a Browns fan has watched for the majority of my life, going back to Bernie Kosar. So you got a little glimpse into that. It is actually worse than what you guys talk about on the radio. We know things like how to lose to the Titans when we're up by 28 at halftime. And did you know that if the ball goes through the field goal post and bounces off of the down bar and back out, that it's actually a score? Because Brown fans have seen that happen too.
Yeah.
So first of all, I'd just like to say I am very proud that we found a way to not lose the game last night. It kind of reminds me of Russell Wilson, and I know they get the comparison because of the height.
Yep.
But the energy in the stadium.
Yep.
Seattle Seahawks had a great defense, played real hard, and they just needed that belief that the guy could win the game when it came down to it. And I don't think Baker's going to win all of them, but just the fact that you've got that in the back of your mind, you got Myles Garrett going 100%. Some of those guys just don't give up, and things will happen if you play the whole game.
Well, yeah. Matthew, next week they go into a very there'll be a very hostile environment. The Raiders are going to be really pissed because they're going to lose in Miami this week. They're going to be 0-3. It's going to be a great challenge, I think. And I think Baker Mayfield loves, as he did to Ohio State last year, loves going into hostile environments and then sticking it to the opposing team, rookie or not rookie. I can't wait for that game next week when they're playing in Oakland.
I can't, too. And I think that this was the perfect time to get him in. I was behind Tyrod, the veteran players of the team, not just Tyrod. I felt like they kind of deserved that, to have the veteran guy because, you know, he's been in the league, all yada yada, what they talk about. But playing the Steelers week one, that's you're going to get beat up. I mean, we remember Colt McCoy getting knocked out and against the Steelers early in his career. The Saints are going to score points. Neither one of those were good starts. Mm-hmm. For any rookie quarterback. But, yeah, we're getting a little weaker as far as opponents right now. It's still going to be tough games. But, you know, it's a lot better than going up against Pittsburgh or Baltimore's defense to start off your career.
Now, Matthew, real quick, do you think Hugh Jackson would have switched quarterbacks at halftime had Tyrod Taylor been healthy, or do you think he would have kept him in there and we still wouldn't know what Baker Mayfield could do?
One, I think – this is terrible for me to say, but I feel like the play calling and those options, they were trying to get Tyrod beat up a little bit. And I don't know if that's Todd Haley or Hugh Jackson. We've seen that friction on Hard Knocks.
Interesting.
With the way that crowd was going, though, I don't think Hugh had a choice at halftime.
Wow. I like that theory, Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew. Let us explore that further.
I had not considered that.
Did Todd Haley get Tyrod Taylor beat up on purpose last night so that they can switch quarterbacks because the head coach and the coordinators don't agree?
Of course, if Hugh thought it was that bad, he could always take over the reins as OC and overrule. I mean, the head coach always has the capability to overrule a play, but I think that's as good as outside the box theory as I've heard in a long time. I like that.
I like conspiracy theories. That is interesting.
Yeah, I respect it.
Yeah. Yeah, because we kind of saw it happen. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Chew on that.
330. I don't even have words for last night's except go Browns. No longer care about the Baker planted the flag. It is so funny, the Ohio State fans who are also Cleveland Brown fans. Oh, they don't know what to do.
They overlap. Yeah.
Now they do. You
got to let bygones be bygones,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 239, same thing happened at my dad's house. Cable went out right before the Browns touchdown. Glasses were thrown, and the brand-new TV is toast. Life of a Browns fan.
Wow. What a rough night. What happened to Comcast last night? That's the cost
of winning. I mean, honestly, you're going to have to give something to get something from this sport.
But
I would
never throw anything at my TV. No way. It's too expensive. Too expensive of a proposition. I throw a pillow against the wall and do zero
damage. What was that video that went viral 2 years ago, that older man... What game was he lost? I believe
that was the Georgia-Alabama National Championship
game. That's right. Was it that game?
If there's one to get that upset about,
yeah.
I think that checked a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
They hadn't won since, what, 1982?
Yeah.
I believe it was Georgia's last national championship.
Yep.
You had the lead at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
You had the 17-yard sack right before you gave up the touchdown. I mean, there was a lot that Georgia fans thought they had a national championship about three times that night.
Yeah.
But this was an old man, and he completely took his, like, 7-inch TV that was on a stand and threw it on the ground. He threw stuff on it. He threw chairs at it. He jumped up and down on it. His son, or his grandson, was trying to stop him.
Yeah.
Well, once it's broken, it's broken. Get some enjoyment out of it.
Speaking of your Alabama football team, we're going to continue talking about Browns and Baker and the Jets. Paul Feinbaum was on somebody's podcast yesterday. I think it was Greeny's. And he said, look, the Saban's close. He's 66. And he kept saying Bear Bryant was 69 when he died. And I'm like, he's like, he thinks Nick Saban's closer to retirement than you think. And I don't. Every time I see Nick Saban, I'm like, he's always like, what else am I going to do? I think he's that focus. He's football. Without football, he'd be lost. I think the dude's going to go truck on for another 6-7 years. I don't see Nick Saban doing anything else or retiring off the sunset. I don't think he's going to go to the NFL. There were the rumors about the Giants. I think those were one-sided from the Giants side making a phone call.
He did that.
Yeah. He did that?
He did the NFL thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's not going to do that. And he don't want to be a TV commentator. And he despises them.
His wife, Miss Terry, hated
Miami.
Hates big cities, period.
Yeah.
So unless he's going to be the new coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Right. Yeah. Well, interesting. So, yeah, it ain't happening. And then the other thing, the big story, we touched on it earlier, is Saturdays down south. There are some people with that outfit saying that Jalen Hurts, if he plays this weekend, that's his fourth game. Mm-hmm. That's the redshirt rule. He will flat out quit on the football team and transfer out.
And you can play immediately.
Yeah. No, can he play immediately?
Next year. He doesn't have to sit out.
With 2 years eligibility.
No, I believe he can because he is going to graduate this year.
Right. So
he'll be a graduate transfer.
Yeah, he can play next year. I think Pete accidentally said he can play immediately this year. He can't do that.
Oh, okay. Next year. Okay, yeah. Yeah, he won't have to sit out the full season.
Right. No. And he'll have 2 years instead of one. So it's interesting. This is the first year this rule is in effect. If it happens, it's going to happen on a grand scale because nobody's under the microscope more than Alabama, being that they're the best team in the country. And Jalen Hurts is 26-2 as a starter. It's a fascinating story. I don't know what the right answer is. I mean, on one hand, you feel like you're quitting on your team, but on the other hand, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I think you got to be a little selfish here. I don't think I would hammer him at all.
But that would still be tough to do because these were your teammates for the past couple of years. That would be hard.
I get it, but if you keep playing, honestly, if Jalen keeps playing, he's rooting for an injury to Tua.
Yeah,
because that's the only way he's getting into any meaningful football game.
He said the big rumor is he will only play in an emergency situation.
Yeah,
and he will have 2 years left of eligibility if he decides to transfer next year. He can play.
All right,
and I want another Heisman Trophy winner out of Tuscaloosa. So let's stop playing Jalen and really pad those stats for Tua.
Yeah, we're killing Tua's numbers here.
We really are, man. He's got to play more than two quarters, Nick. He has to do it.
It's like Baker Mayfield last night. You look at him, he threw for 200 yards, but that was in a half.
It was in a half, right?
Could have been 400. Yeah. Let's go to the phones at 239-3370 ESPN. John in the Cape, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I just had to call and give you my story about throwing stuff to the TV.
Yeah.
I believe it was 1998. The Buffalo Sabres lost in triple overtime to the Dallas.
Horrible call.
Oh, it was terrible. I was so drunk. I was at the bar watching the game. It went into overtime. Then it goes into double overtime. It goes into triple overtime. I go home. I don't even remember watching the game. I wake up in the morning. My TV is shattered. There's a beer can in front of it. I didn't even see it. My wife says to me, honey, what'd you do last night? I'm like, did the Sabres win? And she's like, no. And the TV's broken.
And
you remember the play that caught? Remember Dominic Hasha? Do you remember what happened on that play? Right, that controversy.
He was in the crease, man.
He was in the crease. And Hasek was there. He had to say it. That was one of the worst ways I've ever seen. That was one of the worst ways I've ever seen in a championship one.
Thank you, John.
About to throw stuff at the radio.
No. 239, sorry, just got a chance to text you. First chance to turn the show on today. Don't know what you're talking about, but I'm about to bail on being a Lions fan and jump on the Browns bandwagon because Baker Mayfield was super exciting last night.
Stop. You've been through worse seasons than this as a Lions fan.
No.
Yes.
I don't think so.
0-16? We've got our own 0-16.
Yeah,
right. I mean,
not 1-32, you were never that.
No, I'm saying Lions fan. Why would you bail now?
Because we're about to be 0-3.
But you've been 0-3 countless times in your history. Why is this year the straw that's breaking the camel's back?
Because it's the shiny new light to the South in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield.
No, right, he's the new thing. Don't do that. You're from Michigan. You can't do that. This call is an Ohio fan. I'm talking to the texter.
But I'm a huge Baker Mayfield fan. I love his story.
No, easy it is for somebody to say, "Oh, my team's bad. I'm going to go root for a good." Don't do that. Yeah, you stay with your team.
I do agree with that. I do agree with that.
It's your team. Because I feel this is just a theory I have because my Dolphins have never been to the top of the mountain. But when you're at the bottom for so long, when you finally do hit the pinnacle, when you're at the top and everybody wants to be you, I feel like it'll be that much sweeter.
Yeah.
Like Eagle fan last year. A lifetime of heartache made the Super Bowl win just a little bit sweeter.
The only problem with that is, and I have abided by that theory my whole life as a Detroit fan, a Detroit sports fan. I'm starting to get to, in the point of life where I'm reconciled to the fact that I have fewer days remaining than I've already had in the past.
Stop.
I'm running out of time here.
No.
No.
That could all change.
I mean, yeah, but yeah. you can't jump ship on your team.
I'm not, but I'm running out of time. The sand is coming through the hourglass.
And these are the days of our lives. This is McDonald Carey.
So you wish you could flip the hourglass?
Yeah, I think I've got fewer days left.
You have no faith at all.
It's beyond halftime.
And your Lions on Monday night.
I'm in the third quarter.
That would be the biggest win on a regular season in a long, long time.
What, the Patriots?
No, Detroit winning that game Sunday night. Belichick's 11-4 against former coaches. Two losses to Mangini, 2-2 against him.
Well, Mangini cheated.
If the Cubs Josh can McDaniels. Do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what? That's a bumper sticker.
Anybody
right there.
Can do it.
That's some.
And before that, it was about the Red Sox. If the Red Sox and Cubs can do it, you're right. And if you can be down 3-0 to the Yankees, 3-0, including getting blasted in Game 3, 19-5, and win 4 in a row, anything is possible, Craig, in sports. Anything.
No, 19-8.
I lost track.
By the way, congratulations to your
such a butt whipping.
Congratulations to your Red Sox for winning last night.
That was, yes.
Clinching the division. It's all good.
Yeah, Giambi.
Oh my gosh.
Judge hits a wiffle ball grand slam, and thank God MLB Network, because I was watching. I was flipping, and it said this is the only stadium where that would have been a home run in Major League Baseball. That bandbox, that fake right field.
24-year-old celebrating in Boston last night died.
300, really?
Died?
Yeah.
What, drinking? Stupid. Falling off of something? What?
Something, this was a pretty calm celebration.
Something
in
involved
stadium.
With the train.
Oh, no.
Don't tell me you're dodging.
On the tee? No, he's going to get pushed into?
I'm not sure.
Green line, orange line?
I don't.
Or was it Yankee Stadium?
I want to say that he got shot, like, I don't know. But yeah, 24-year-old died celebrating the pennant last night. The division, not the pennant.
That's kind of a downer. Field Yates coming up next. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3.
Should have had the facts there before ESPN. I just came out hot with it, huh?
Sports. You love it. We love it. And quite frankly, I don't trust anyone who doesn't love it. Do you?
Is that a serious question?
This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
All right, it's our Friday conversation time for Field Yates, who, by the way, has been hosting more and more on for Spain and Fitz. And
fantastic
get to hear him on the
job.
Way home all the time. Always enjoy that.
Field so Yates. So nimble. Versatile.
He is versatile. Our NFL insider from ESPN. Brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out their website at betterplantoday.com and schedule yourself a free consultation. Field, how are you, sir?
Hey, Field.
Guys, I'm doing great. I appreciate the kind words, and it's always fun to flap the gums for a while. So I had a lot of fun here on
Hey, so early, I'm sure you heard it or you got ribbed about it, but Lebatard and Stugatz today, when they're talking to Kirchner, had you in some kind of a question like you, and I forget who else they said. You were like spoiled brats who were taking on somebody in doubles tennis and humiliating them because you could, something like that. I found it offensive.
Hey, you know something, guys, as we all know. If you don't have thick skin in this business, you don't survive in this business. We have a lot of fun, and those guys have a truly hilarious, great radio show. So a lot of love to Dan and Sue.
It was good. So I'm trying to picture you in shorts playing doubles tennis, and I guess. Yeah, I can see it.
I can see it.
Yeah.
Trust me, it's happened. It's happened.
Yeah, well, you do have the best hair in the business. We know that. You and Kuiper, I think, 1-1A.
Oh, you got Kuiper blown away. Kuiper's starting to lose it. He's got him blown away. All right, so last night's game, obviously we want to talk about Baker Mayfield, but I want your opinion on something because we've debated this. We all saw what we saw, and both with Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield. We all know that Hugh Jackson has been kind of stubborn in his game plan on how to bring in Baker. Do you think, had Tyrod Taylor not been hurt, even as poorly as he was playing, do you think Hugh Jackson would have started Tyrod Taylor in the second half, or would he have made the switch and brought Baker in eventually?
Yeah, I think he would have stuck with Tyrod Taylor. I think he would have thought long and hard about it, but I think he would have stuck with Tyrod Taylor. He's been defiant. He's been stubborn in some ways, and some might say he's been miscalculated in being so dedicated to Tyrod Taylor. But Hugh Jackson, whether you want to accept it or agree with it or not, has said repeatedly this is a long game here with Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor. This is about stabilizing the offense. And here's the thing, is he may have stumbled into not a problem, but a solution. I mean, Baker Mayfield was awesome last night. I'm not saying he's going to go 17 for 23 in most halves that he plays, but he sizzled last night. And, you know, I woke up this morning saying something that I don't know that I can say in quite some time, which is the Browns have a quarterback, or at least it sure looks that way based off the early return.
Yeah. Are we going to be talking about Avery Williamson in the same breath as Mo Lewis, you think, a few years down the road here?
I don't think it'll be that dramatic, Pete, yeah. Because I think a couple of things. First of all, you know, the commitment to Drew Bledsoe at that time was different. The nature of the injury was a little more significant. Yep. And, you know, Drew Bledsoe had somewhat recently signed a 10-year, $103 million contract with the Patriots. Moreover, I don't think that Baker Mayfield is, and I don't mean this because of Baker Mayfield, like, I wouldn't project any quarterback to go on to win five Super Bowls like Tom Brady has. Like, Tom Brady will probably go down as the greatest of all time, and he may never be passed. So I don't know that we'll have the same regard or have the same sort of memory of the player involved in the injury that opened the door to Baker Mayfield becoming the Browns starter. It's a footnote, though, that might be interesting for those who watched that game closely last night.
Over to the other side, Sam Darnold the past couple of weeks has fallen back to earth a little bit. I am not jumping off the Sam Darnold bandwagon. I still think he's...
The post is.
He's gonna, some people are, yeah. But your thoughts on him, and I don't want to use the word regressing the past couple of weeks, but your thoughts on where he's at right now.
Yeah, you know, here's what I would say, is, and this is going to apply to Baker Mayfield, and it's already applied to Josh Allen, and it'll eventually apply to Josh Rosen, is, you know, if you're drafting a rookie quarterback, like, it's accepting that you're going to have to live with the good and the not as good. And I think a lot of things in life are about managing expectations. Relationships, like, not to, you know, sound like Dr. Phil here, but, like, you know, relationships and opportunities and things like that, like, they don't always go as scripted. Mm-hmm. And for Sam Darnold, you know, I don't want to say that the Jets would like to have plays like some of the ones we saw last night, but I'm just telling you, there is some positive to be gleaned from some of the things that we saw last night with Sam Darnold. Like, you got to learn from your mistakes. Like, you can't come in and be flawless as a player, or else I don't know that you ever reach your ceiling. And I think for Sam Darnold, as difficult as some of those things probably are to watch or rewatch this morning on film, you know, like, you got to just live with it. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's something you can tolerate. Bigger picture, and you know, I don't want to say that every rookie quarterback is going to become Carson Wentz, but I remember 2 years ago when Carson Wentz came out like a man with his hair on fire and was the talk of the town in the NFL after 2 weeks, and then he leveled off during his, you know, the second half of his rookie season, and people said, oh, you know, like, what's most concerning about Philadelphia following that year? And I said, most concerning? I said, the most important thing, regardless of how that season finished, is that the Eagles have a quarterback. So it may not be perfect throughout this year for Sam Darnold, but the Jets, like the Browns, appear to have a player you can build around.
Hey, Field, I don't know if you know this or not, but John Gruden, I was amazed Wednesday because I didn't realize this, but you know it's hard to find a great pass rusher? I didn't know that. John reiterated on Wednesday, went into great detail about it, which I don't think really made him look all that good. But did you know that really good pass rushers are hard to find? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that as well. But, you know, and obviously we're all being funny and facetious here, but, you know, here's what I got to tell you guys and everybody about John Gruden, and this is not because I know John a little bit, but it's just the truth, is, like, John Gruden does not care what people think about him in the court of public opinion. He just doesn't, all right? Like, you know, some of the comments he's made, clearly he's not concerned about the reaction because John is not dumb enough to not know what the reaction is going to be. Obviously, he understands that when he says something like, you know, it's really hard to find a great pass rusher, after you've traded one away, he knows what the blowback is going to be. And whether it's because he's too insulated with his work, whether it's because he's too concerned about his upcoming opponent, maybe it's because he's making $10 million a year for the next 10 seasons, he doesn't care what we think. And that's fine. Like, that's his right. And maybe at some point these comments will level off, but as long as Khalil Mack is dominating and as long as the Raiders are struggling to find a capable pass rush, you can bet that we're going to make the comparisons about the Raiders versus Khalil Mack.
Field Yates with us with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Couple of items that kind of go hand in hand. Andrew Sandejo made a play, got penalized for it on Davante Adams. Turned around, looked at the official, says, what could I have done differently? He claims the official said, well, you didn't do anything wrong. The NFL just wants us to throw the flags. I couple that with comments by Aaron Rodgers saying, hey, we appreciate that you can't hit us in the head or down low, but it's ridiculous on these knocking the quarterback down rules. They've gone too far. Kind of take those two incidents a little bit. What's your opinion of where we're going with this? I mean, seriously, when an official tells you, hey, you couldn't have done anything differently, I just am told to throw a flag. We're all holding our breath now on big plays for the rest of the season because we're watching a game and we could think, wow, a flag could come out of nowhere and cost us a game.
Yeah, that one was disconcerting. And, you know, I wasn't there. None of us were. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't take Andrew Sandejo at his word. It's just a case of where I hope there's more to it. But I fear there isn't more to it. And, you know, my concerns during the preseason, I would say, have leveled off a bit. I think a lot of people feel that way after what we've seen through the first 2 weeks plus one game of the NFL season. It feels like flags have been thrown dramatically differently. I don't know if that will necessarily persist, but I'm encouraged by the way that flags have been thrown compared to how they were thrown in the preseason. But stories like this do nothing to help the narrative that the NFL's got some issues that need to be resolved and that are deep-rooted as it ties to these officials. And not the officials themselves, but some of the rules and the ways that these rules are legislated. So it was a disconcerting story, one that I'm not sure it'll go away for quite some time.
Well, I think it's interesting. I brought this up yesterday, and I'm wondering either you or Adam or somebody over there, I would love to hear Al Riveron's response, just particularly to Aaron Rodgers' comments, because I was saying yesterday, if I'm Al Riveron, the senior vice president of officiating, if he's sitting in a room, I got to think he's going, oh, my God. He's going to be banging his head against the wall going, what are you doing to me? I'm trying to protect you, and here you are saying that it's gone over the top. And I would love to hear. I'm hoping Al responds to Aaron Rodgers' comments at some point before Monday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to be a wet blanket here, but I wouldn't get your hopes up. You know, I mean, I think that's just the way it is, right? I mean, like, there are plenty of things that I think we wish the NFL or, you know, members of the NFL team in some capacity would answer, and we know that we shouldn't necessarily expect that, right? I mean, that's just the way it goes here with this league, and, you know, I don't want to take them off the hook, but I get it sometimes. You know, you can't merely answer every question that the public has or else you'd spend all your time answering questions, but, yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting. I doubt Al Riveron will say anything there, but, you know, the remarks from some of the league's key and notable players and how many more and more notable than Aaron Rodgers certainly – generate more conversation, and the NFL wants more than anything conversation to be about the stuff taking place on the field, not the flags being thrown on the field, but the plays and the remarkable highlights that take place on the field.
Field, we've seen the rookie quarterbacks. We saw Baker Mayfield. We've seen Sam Darnold. Josh Allen has gotten a go at it. All right, when is Josh Rosen's time? Because what's going on with the Cardinals isn't working right now anyway. What are you hearing?
I mean, my opinion is the time is right now. I mean, Sam Bradford has led 20 drives. They've scored 6 points. They have 350 yards of total offense. So that's less. That's 15 yards of offense per drive.
Wow.
Imagine that. Like, that is deplorable. That's like your eyes hurt when you think about watching it. Even if the watching your eyes already hurt. It's bad. But, yeah. You know, the Cardinals and GM Steve Keim was, I believe, on radio recently and said, you know, like, basically said something to the effect of, like, it's a process of figuring out when the right time is to go to a young player. And we'll see whether or not that was a sign that things could soon change. But, you know, it's the worst offense in football, or at least it's right there with Buffalo right now, which is crazy because the Cardinals have a star in David Johnson and a player that feels grossly underutilized at this point.
Field, the last time Tampa Bay beat the Steelers was 2014. I know you remember it like yesterday because the immortal Mike Glennon hit Vincent Jackson late, and they pulled out a win over the Steelers. Pittsburgh 8-2 all time versus Tampa Bay. Who cares? Roethlisberger, phenomenal record on Monday night. I believe he's 14-4, one of the best of all time. But going up against a buzzsaw right now, anyway, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think this is going to be one of the most entertaining games of the week in the NFL. How do you think this is all going to play out? And what? And your thoughts on Antonio Brown? What's the punishment going to be? One play, one series, fine?
Oh, let's get that part out of the way. I doubt the punishment has anything to do with his game status on Monday night. Doubt it. But it's a fascinating storyline, guys. You know, I've said this on a couple of different occasions. I missed the boat on the Bucs. I thought they were going to be 1-2 after three games, or 0-3 after three games. So my hat goes off to everybody involved with this 2-0 start. There might not be much defense played on Monday night. The over-under's at 56. I wouldn't be surprised if we pound past that 56 number based off what we've seen from these two teams defensively and in the passing game so far. It's a great matchup. I'm looking forward to this one. You know, Monday Night Football, as we know, there have been some matchups where you've said to yourself, like, I'm not as fascinated by it, but this is one that I'm fascinated by. Monday Night Football, the center stage, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and, you know, all the hovering interest in whether or not Jameis Winston resumes his job in week four. You know, I think that really one of the great storylines is Ryan Fitzpatrick and his play through 2 weeks, and a credit to GM Jason Light, head coach Dirk Cutter, and everybody involved in that organization for a really strong start.
All right, Field, always great to have you on. Are you hosting tonight? When's your next hosting gig on radio?
Monday night. Well, Sunday afternoon and then Monday night. We'll be right back at it.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, as always. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks, Field.
All right, that is Field Yates from ESPN, our NFL insider. He's brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out their website at betterplantoday.com and schedule yourself a free consultation. Coming up, the Obscure Sports Minute and our pigskin pick, Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Craig and Pete have you covered on the main sports. Chris will get you covered on everything else. It's the Obscure Sports Minute.
A full slate of CFL action kicks off tonight at 8:30 with Johnny Manziel leading the Montreal Alouettes into Winnipeg.
Wow.
I believe they're the Blue Bombers. It's Family Day in Ottawa tomorrow, where you have the Red Blacks hosting the Edmonton Eskimos. Toronto Argonauts host the Saskatchewan Rough Riders tomorrow at 7. And the third game tomorrow from north of the border, the BC Lions host the Hamilton Tiger Cats. If you're going to throw a few Skittles on this game, BC is very, very good at home. I believe that they're 7-1 on home turf this year.
Good to know.
All right, from football to football, we got a nice slate of English Premier League action. Kicks off tomorrow morning with Fulham against Watford. Some of the bigger clubs in action, 10 a.m., Man City host, they're on the road at Cardiff City. Manchester United, their home, playing Wolverhampton Wanderers. Liverpool hosts Southampton, and Brighton and Hove Albion host Tottenham. Then on Sunday, my computer loads, Arsenal hosts Everton, and if you want to watch Cristiano Ronaldo, he's on ESPN Plus at 2:30. Fiorenzoni hosting Juventus.
How do you think it felt from a human interest standpoint for Johnny Manziel to catch a glimpse of the game last night? Watch Baker Mayfield just come in there and boom, turn the page.
He's saying with a little discipline, it could have been me.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to my Big Ten volleyball update.
Oh, hit me. I love the Big Ten.
Oh, they're loaded this year as well. Number 8, Illinois at number 16, Purdue tonight, and 18th ranked Michigan on the road. They play in two sports this weekend. They play Nebraska.
Wow.
By the way, did you see Scott Frost's comments?
No.
He's telling his fan base, because they're at what, 0-2?
Be patient.
I said, it could get a lot worse before it gets better. That doesn't sound like a guy that's going to turn it around on a dime.
Nah, you know what that is?
What?
That's not, that's setting the expectation level at an appropriate place.
It's management.
That's all it is.
Right. I'm throwing Skittles on Nebraska in the money line.
Why do you continue to do that to yourself? Michigan is going to destroy them.
We'll see.
Because he doesn't like Skittles, so he wants to lose his Skittles.
Yeah. Oh. And Alabama. Oh,
that's a good point.
And I don't mind this Alabama to this. They added Louisiana Monroe to their 2022 and 2025 schedules, and that's fine. I'd rather see that than an FCS team. At least that's a Division I school.
Barely.
Wait, didn't you have a problem with Arkansas State?
No, because that was a Division I school.
Who is it you have the problem with? Citadel?
Citadel.
Yeah, I don't like FCS schools with the second to last game of the season taking on SEC opponents.
Even though the entire SEC does
it. That's what I mean, all of them. That's not just Alabama.
at least everyone in the West.
I keep telling you, some of the greatest games we've had would have never happened if Pete Shepard was in charge of scheduling.
Right.
We wouldn't get to see Troy upset Division I. We wouldn't get to see.
Don't mind it early.
App
State
go toe to toe with Penn State at Happy Valley. We would miss all that great stuff.
That's fine. That's once in a lifetime. But
many times in a lifetime.
They already have a cream puff for
twice
early
in
on.
A lifetime.
So they have their Sanfords. They play those. A lot of teams play those schools early. I don't
let's not throw shade at Sanford. You know, they went into Doak Campbell.
I know, they
really should have won that football game.
Yeah, exactly. That's another one.
You know what I mean. I just don't like seeing it in
November. By the way, Northern Illinois.
Is that 1AA?
Sneaky little play this weekend.
They're going to win. Northern Illinois is picked to win the MAC. Illinois is going to beat Florida State in Florida. I'm telling you.
I think you're right.
That's a good football team. They're picked to win the MAC conference. I'm telling you, they're going to win it. Don't. My MAC knowledge is second to none. I'm telling you, Northern Illinois
second to second.
At the very least, they're covering the 10. I can't believe Florida State's favored by 10.
My MAC knowledge is second to none. Okay, I'll give you.
I own that conference.
You do on this show. You're the
own
MAC.
My picks again.
You're the
as
MAC
I continue
expert.
To storm ahead.
Which speaking of picks,
King of Tuesday night. Pigskin picks.
Wow, coming up guys.
Next. We got some work to do on that, too. I'm in dire need, and so is Chris, of a good week.
And
we
$1,000 cash word, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming up.
That's right.
Do you want to give a heads up on what that is? That is, people, again, we're not texting the word of the hour for the Sheeman and Shepherd cash grab to a number. We're not texting it to a number. Go to our website or download our app for free, 99.3 ESPN, right now. And that's where you put the word in. And you see a big banner right at the top, the Sheeman and Shepherd cash grab. So we have one every day at 4 o'clock. I'm going to do you all a favor. The 4 o'clock word is place. P-L-A-C-E. Can't do it for about another 5 minutes.
Is that yesterday's word?
I thought it was yesterday's.
Oh, today's Friday.
Yep.
Budget. Budget.
At least you're close.
Again, I've done 4 shows in the last 2 days. I was on first and last. Hey, I never know what day it is. I was on this morning on ESPN.
Baker Mayfield sat on the sideline through almost the entire first half.
Yeah, I caught that.
Failing to see the connection.
Yeah, what's the connection?
All right, we got a cash word coming up.
I don't know.
All right, so we got the Sheeman Shepherd cash and pigskin picks coming up. Sheeman Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.